I will continue our theme. This will be first experience for me. I've forgotten my notes, so I'm actually reading my notes from my phone. I've never done that before. It looks rather modern, and trust me, I don't want to do it, but I have no choice. This is all I've got. So let's this evening continue with our theme of a pattern for prayer and thanksgiving. And these meetings, the end of the year and these meetings at the beginning of the year, are an opportunity to reflect, to review, and to make resolutions. We know the world makes resolutions, New Year's resolutions. They are famously short-lived, of course. That's partly because of our fickle hearts, and we're not very good at keeping resolutions. But the resolutions of the Christian are of a different sort. He resolves in his heart to follow the Lord in a greater earnestness. And this indeed, of course, is the theme of preaching throughout the year, isn't it, when you think about it? Preacher says, review, reflect, and make resolutions. Seek the face of God. Make covenants with God. Promise to him. And call upon him for his help. The old people used to do it much more than us. Jonathan Edwards in America wrote 70 famous resolutions. And the first resolution was to read these resolutions once a week. So he would review these resolutions, these 70 resolutions, every week. And of course, check himself against those resolutions to see whether he was keeping his promises with the Lord. Covenants, personal covenants and church covenants are similar to resolutions. They are written decrees or written agreements with God, you could say. I promise, in as far as lies within me, to do this or not to do that. I mentioned to you on Wednesday and Thursday the famous preacher Christmas Evans coming over Caerphilly Mountain from Caerphilly to Cardiff, and wrote a covenant with God on that occasion. And so one resolution would be to pray more and to pray better. And prayer really is such a key matter. Prayer will determine our lives to a great degree. And the degree of blessing that we shall know will be dependent on our praying. We can be so presumptuous with God and thinking he'll bless me anyway, whatever. I'm like, he's gracious. Now, God is gracious, that is for sure. But you have to consider, do I believe that he's a father who answers my prayers? Do I believe there is fruit to backsliding and fruit to carelessness? I do. Therefore, there must be fruit to walking with the Lord and to seek his face. And prayer is a big part of that. It is our communion, our speaking with our God. And it is part of our walking with him as well as with obedience. And so there are patterns for prayer which can help us. And on Watch Night service, we had the Lord's Prayer. And that's the pattern par excellence, you can say. You don't get better than that. It starts with God, our Father, which art in heaven. And then, of course, we come to the personal petitions about our daily bread, and then the matters of the heart and our forgiveness of others. And then it ends with God. And that Lord's Prayer is wonderful. But there are other patterns that men have devised which are useful, and I like this one that we're doing this week because it's so simple. There's four parts to it, and the simpler it is, the better, really, as long as not comes to 2 points, which is maybe not helpful, but between say 2 points and 10 points, 4 points is quite good, something which we can remember easily. It's the ACTS, acts. Adoration is an important first part of prayer, and then is confession. And then we have thanksgiving. And lastly, supplication, or our requests to God. And so thanksgiving is our theme this evening. adoration beginning with God, then confession, we come down to our level and our sins. But that really is also rising upwards, because we take our sins to God. We confess them to God. We repent of them. We are reminded of the gospel. So that also, although downward, is also upward. And then thanksgiving, which is mostly upward. And then the supplications, again, which is down on earthly level, but taking it to God again. And this is a good pattern for prayer. Up to God, humbled in heart, thankful in heart, and then to bring our petitions to God. Well, what about thanksgiving? And in that verse 6 of chapter 4 of Philippians, we see, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And we find two of our list there, supplication and thanksgiving. So two parts of our pattern are in that verse. Also in the same chapter, it adds to thanksgiving, rejoicing. And there is something happy about thanksgiving and even rejoicing, as in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, as I said just now, adoration took us upward, confession took us downward. Confession reminds us of the gospel. As soon as we mention our sins, we remember our sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then this thanksgiving continues this direction upwards. Having remembered the blood of Christ and the gospel, now we continue in thanksgiving. Indeed, it follows naturally. Confessing our sins, remembering the gospel, thanksgiving just takes off from there and carries on. Thanksgiving is a mixture of earthly and heavenly. Thanksgiving is thanking God for things, obviously, upon this earth, to do with your life or to do with your circumstances. But you thank God. And so, although, like with confession, it starts upon the earth, it actually goes up to heaven and to God. Now, many times I've mentioned to you on other occasions, my father used to say to me a few times, the Lord likes to be thanked. There's something about that which is the etiquette of life and the etiquette of spiritual life. When you receive something precious, you thank. That is the etiquette. And so it is with God and spiritual matters. We receive things, we should thank God. It also speaks, that little phrase by my dad, speaks also of the worthiness of God. He likes to be thanked, and he should be thanked, and he's worthy to be thanked. And there's something here about the glory of God. He must be glorified. He is the absolute and the perfect. It is wrong and sinful not to glorify him. And so it's right to thank him. And right to glorify him. There's nothing more right than this thanking. This is really sanctified thanking. But of course, many do not thank him. You might think of the 9 lepers. There were 10 lepers. But 9 lepers forgot to thank Christ for healing them. And they took their blessing and ran, you could say. And many do that. Once we got what we want, we forget God. And that can be true with the best of us. We pray, we pray, we pray, we call upon God. Then he answers, and we might just thank very briefly, but maybe not at all even on occasions. And away we go. We've got what we wanted. But one leper came back to thank. Not only did he come back to thank, he came back to Jesus. And that is something about thanking. That we thank God, but we also return to him. And there's something spiritual about thanking. It's an engagement there. A very lovely part of prayer. All prayer is lovely. Adoration is heavenly and high. But this also is warm and touching. When we thank God, there's something of a blessing in our own heart. We glorify him. is good in that sense, but it's good for us also, that thanking blesses our own hearts. And so there are things we should thank for. And to remember this is a way to God, like confession is a way to God. That God will visit the lowly, will come to the lowly. And so also thanking, I suggest to you, is a way, an access to God's heart. There's something of a communion and joining when we thank the Lord. What do you thank for? Well, of course, so much. Start with the gospel. Like when you're praying in a prayer meeting. You know, a very good prayer would be, Lord, thank you for saving me. Amen. That would be a good prayer. And that, of course, is something we should never forget. Ever, ever. We shall remember in heaven, so why should we forget upon earth? We shall sing the song of the Lamb in heaven and praise him forever. So certainly we should be full of those things now, especially since the circumstances of our salvation surround us. We are reminded of our sin and our failures. And we've been saved from all these things. So we should be greatly moved to thank God for saving us. And this should come over us in waves. Are you moved by the gospel? Are you touched by the gospel? You think of preachers. Are preachers moved by the gospel? I should say so. It's what keeps them going on many occasions. The ups and downs of life. But this great constant, this great inspiration and motivation is the gospel. And it is a joy, always. You might think, when he's preparing a gospel sermon, another gospel sermon, again and again, the same thing said in a different way, but he loves it. And of course, there is great depth anyway, but he loves it anyway. He loves the theme, the very basic theme. 30 years ago, a preacher would be moved by the thought of just saying, the Father sent the Son into this world. Christ came, he lived amongst us, and he died for our sins. And he visited my heart. All these things are greatly moving and are always moving. So they should be in all our hearts. That we should have a heart that loves the gospel. It is so great salvation. It is a salvation of extremes. Great sinners, great savior. Great atonement. It's a dramatic thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a miraculous thing. So great salvation. Hell and heaven. Death and life. Darkness and light. All these things. We should thank God also for every part of salvation. You might think of the order of salvation. Thank God for his decrees. His wise decrees. The call. He called my heart. He called me by name. Of regeneration. I was dead. And he touched me. You think of those times Christ touched people, healed them, and also those who were dead in the grave. He brought them to life, and so it was with my soul and your soul. He touched our dead souls and brought us to life. And then this union, this remarkable thing that our souls are joined to the person of Christ and forever. Not only does he save us, but he joins himself to us. We are joined to him. In a mystical union, and a union that cannot be separated, which is everlasting union. This great union, we shall always be with Christ. And then conversion, when because all these things came to the surface, and the facts about your conversion, how you became a Christian, and whether they are dramatic or almost ordinary, you could say, yet. There's no ordinary when it comes to the gospel. No ordinary when it comes to a resurrection of the soul. That can't be ordinary. You can't say, oh, my story is quite boring, really. I was raised from the dead. Boring? Of course it's not boring. It's wonderful, whatever the circumstances of that resurrection of your soul. And then repentance, that beautiful repentance when you bow before God and with sorrow for sin and believed and looked to Christ and looked to him and believed in the Savior, who he is and what he had done, and was saved. And then the whole picture of the justification by faith, that God declares you righteous because you believed in Jesus Christ, and you are saved because God says so. And then the other parts of the order of salvation, adoption, become part of the family. This is a remarkable thing, from justification to adoption. Justification is the judge, God the judge, saying, not guilty, righteous. But this judge is our Father, and he takes us to his home. And so we are the children of God, the sons of God. We thank for all these things. They're remarkable. It's possible for none of this to happen, but it did happen. And we thank for all these things. An assurance of salvation. Now some struggle, but it might yet come. And you will thank for that. For every degree of assurance of salvation. Every touch of God. Perhaps you say, I don't have assurance. But you might know of various drawings near of God occasionally. For that you can thank. Sanctification. This remarkable working of God in our hearts. The Holy Spirit. The empty heart of the unbeliever. But your heart is an active heart. And the mercy and the wonder that God is at work and building in your heart. And then perseverance, that you shall endure to the end. And despite all the various seasons of life and the difficulties, yet you shall continue and be kept to the very end. And death also, because your death is not any ordinary death. It is precious in the sight of God, the death of saints. And indeed, you, in fact, are leaving the world of the dying and entering the world of the living, and to be with the Lord and the one who is the life. And then we have what follows, the resurrection and the glorification. I was just thinking, so I was pausing there, of Dwight L. Moody. You've heard it before. And he wrote that one day, somebody will say that Dwight L. Moody, this preacher in America, will have died. And he added, don't you believe a word of it. He won't be more alive than at any other time compared with that moment. And then resurrection, the mighty resurrection, the glory, the reality of these things. What God said is true. We shall rise from the grave in the mighty power of the resurrection of Christ, and glorification. We shall be glorified. We shall see him and we shall be like him. Glorification. And the wonder, the blessing, the abundant blessing. And all the blessings we've spoken about upon this earth are dragged down by our failures and our weaknesses. Not anymore. Out of gunshot of sin. Now with the Lord. And so indeed, we thank for those things. We thank for answers to prayer. We thank for times he helps us and delivers us in small things which were important to you, and the big things, and these moments where he answers your prayer. As Spurgeon said about answers to prayer, very often we think that God is slow in answering our prayers. But Spurgeon then added, but when God moves, his speed is glorious. And that is often the case with the answers of prayer. He comes suddenly and unmistakably, showing it is him. And also we should thank God not just for answers to prayer and deliverances, but also for all things which work for good, including the trials of life. Now this is difficult to thank God for, because sometimes the very memory is like a wound in your heart. And yet you know that that did a good work in your heart. And you don't know what other good it did and will do in the future. We can thank God. Maybe in a different note, perhaps, a tone of voice. But we do thank God for those things. And of course, the scriptures tell us this great victory of the gospel. They tell us to rejoice in trials. In James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers or many temptations or trials. It is a joy because God is in it and will triumph with you, will sanctify your trials, and will use you to his glory. I will keep you through it, and the victory will be yours. And so we thank God for his many benefits. Count them, as the hymn says. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And that is a good thing to do. Have you ever sung that hymn and not been blessed? Every time we sing that hymn, it is a memory, a reminder to us of some blessing. And you just think, yes, I have been blessed. Maybe just from a point of view that God has given me good friends. I thank God for that. Oh, God has put me in a place where other members of the family have been saved. Or God has placed me in a church where I am loved. And so many things like that. We can thank God, not just for present friends, but for past friends. Many of us have known some very good people. We thank God for those people whom we knew and were friends of ours. And what a grace and a mercy that was. And as the psalm says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Not many benefits, but every benefit. And thank God from our heart for all the benefits. Because indeed, they are all from the hand of God, let us remember. This is no chance or fortune, but all our lives are designed by our God and ordered by our God. And all these things he gives us at the right time are his choosing and his gifts to us. And of course, we can be fearful. But I think the past can help us trust. And to thank for things is a good way to build up that trust, that reservoir of thankfulness in your heart. And remember, too, that a thankful heart is a happy heart, isn't it? So when we thank God, we become happier souls. And a thankful heart glorifies God. When you thank, what are you doing? You're lifting God up, aren't you? In your heart. It's a very important and lovely part of praying. And these parts all have their beauty. I think confessions has its beauty. Takes us to the heart of the gospel. Adoration takes us to the heavens. Thankfulness is maybe an aspect of that, but it's more focused on the events of life and to thank God. And we'll come, God willing, tomorrow night to supplications, to our petitions and requests to God, which we are allowed to make. Well, we'll sing that hymn which has been chosen, which is 264.